This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Trade between the U.S. and Canada totaled about $628 billion in 2016, according to the Office of the United States Trade Representative. Canada was the largest goods export market for the U.S. last year and the third largest supplier of goods imports. François-Philippe Champagne is Canada's Minister of International Trade. He was in Cincinnati last month to meet with local leaders, and he visited our studios to discuss NAFTA and other trade issues between Canada and the U.S. Minister Champagne, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
It's a great pleasure and beautiful sunshine this afternoon here in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I understand this is coming back to Ohio is a bit of a homecoming for you.
Totally. I was privileged to do my law school in Case Western Reserve, so one of your ambassadors introduced me recently as a son of Ohio. So it's like an homecoming for me and talking about trade between our two great nations. So it's a real delight to be in Cincinnati this morning.
How much trade is there? Let's talk broadly first between Canada and the U.S.
Well, it's unique in the world. Let's start with that. I mean, you can say this morning you meet with your biggest client because Canada is the largest client in the United States. Just to give you a sense of perspective, the trade between our two nations is $2 billion a day. Every single day between our
$2 billion a day
of trade in goods and services. It's about 400,000 people who cross the border every single day. It's about, you know, trade between the U.S. and Canada represent 9 million jobs in the United States depend directly on trade with Canada. And I think if my numbers are right, 48 states have Canada as their primary, secondary, tertiary export market. So this is, you know, our relationship is unique in the world. It's based on prosperity. It's based on security. Oftentimes around the world, they say, what is that unique? I said, we're both friends, allies, and partners. Friends, you know, you see it with the cross-border people moving almost seamlessly between Canada and the U.S. Partners, I'd say, listen, if I just look at Greater Cincinnati, 40% of everything that the Greater Cincinnati region export is to Canada. This is very significant. It's bigger than the eighth largest trading partner you have. So imagine, so Canada represents the biggest export market for Greater Cincinnati. And ally, I don't need to talk to you about border security. We've been in Afghanistan together, you know, with NORAD. So the uniqueness of our relationship is that it has provided stability, predictability, and millions of good middle-class jobs on both sides of the border.
Yeah, there's a good example of trade relations between the two countries up in Detroit, where you have the Ambassador Bridge that links Detroit with Windsor, Canada. How much business is crossing that bridge each day? I mean, it's some phenomenal amount.
I think it's the biggest crossing. Yeah, it's like the biggest crossing of trade in the world. And this is what's unique. And what makes it unique is that, you know, around the world, you look at other nations, you say, we sell to each other. But in our case, we make things together. This is the very different is that the supply chain in North America is very well integrated. Recently, I'll give you an example. I was presented with a picture of a landing gear, and they put the city of where the parts are made. And it looked like the United Nations of North America because there was like 50 cities. And then you say, is that a Canadian landing gear? Is that an American landing gear? This is the real opportunity for us. That's why I'm in Ohio today in Cincinnati, is to say the real thing has never been between Canada and the U.S. It's about how can we make more together? You know, how can we make things together and then sell to the world? That's really where the big prize is. And this is what Prime Minister Trudeau asked me, make trade real for people, come back to people, make opportunities for the middle class, make sure that consumers have better prices, better choices, and make sure that our small and medium-sized businesses can get a share of that trade. This is my job every day.
Yeah, make trade real for people. That's interesting because I think people lose sight of that sometimes. They look at it as just a bunch of figures and numbers and statistics, but it's more than that.
Well, I'll give you an example. You know, when I was at the last World Trade Organization meeting, I was appointed in January, so I was one of the last ministers to speak. None of the people had mentioned people in their speech. So I said, why don't we have a World Trade Organization that focuses on people? Why don't we make, for example, the e-commerce platform available to our SMEs so they can be local but export globally? So for us, you know, you'll find in Canada a real partner in growth, in inclusiveness, in progressiveness. And it's so unique. I was with some folks this morning talking about our cooperation in science and technology and innovation. You know, the biggest export of this region to Canada is about cars, spare parts, and engine parts. And he was saying how integrated it is, how seamless it goes from one factory to the other. Actually, 50% of what is exported from this region, believe it or not, is intra-company sales. Just give you a sense, nationally, it's one-third. So when you say you export to Canada, you're actually exporting, it's subsidiaries which are exporting to each other within the same company. This is how integrated it is. Think about that. 50% of what OYU exports to Canada is intra-company. That means that subsidiary affiliates, they make a part here. This is assembled here. It's sold there. We all benefit. This is the whole purpose. Is for us, this is about making more for the middle class. You know, the White House was electing on working for the middle class. We do too. And I said, we have the social license to have a very ambitious trade agenda because we reduce taxes for the middle class, investing in people, invest in infrastructure. That's what people want. That's the essence of your question. It's all about people.
President Trump has said he would like to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
First of all, we have to say it's always a good place to start when you're the biggest client. You know, we're the largest client to the United States. So if someone wants to renegotiate, we say, well, we'll come to the table. NAFTA is an agreement that's been done, about 20 years ago, has been amended already 12 times successfully. For example, e-commerce did not even exist when this was drafted. Could we do better there? The point is to see how can this North American supply chain and economy be better integrated to sell to the world. This is the big prize. The big prize is to make it more seamless between us so that we are more competitive, more cost-effective to sell to the rest of the world. This is how we approach that. We are very constructive in our approach. I spoke to the USTR, U.S. Trade Representative. We're just in Paris together. And I must say that for me, it's all about how can we make North America more competitive. Because the real challenge, trust me, is not between Canada and the United States. It's us as to where can we export together in Europe? How can we do that in the Asia Pacific and the rest of the world?
So if I understand correctly, you're saying there's room for updating.
Yeah, I mean, we've always said modernization. You know, an agreement that is 20 years old is always good to look at and see how we can make it better to work for middle-class families, for workers. Our relationship, like I said, 9 million jobs, middle-class jobs here in the U.S. depend on trade with Canada. So obviously, we want to preserve what's good, and we want to upgrade and make sure that whatever we agree would be to the net benefit of both our nations, because this is the big prize. Is making more together to export to the world.
If not NAFTA, what would you say is the most important trade issue between the U.S. and Canada right now?
Honestly, if you look at the breadth and depth of our relationship, it's going very well. You know, it's been serving us for more than two decades. We are natural allies. We're partners. We're friends. The reason why I'm in Cincinnati today is like, you're a good neighbor, you're a good cousin. You know, we probably take each other for granted because, you know, it's kind of the... We're out there, we do a lot of things together, but we don't celebrate it often enough, I think, and understanding how much we are dependent on each other. Think about energy security. Canada is the largest supplier of oil, gas, and electricity to the United States. The first. It's not China, it's not the Middle East, it's Canada. Most of the electricity that come in the, you know, I come from Quebec. Most of the state of New York is powered by Quebec. People don't know that, but this is the reality that we are the largest. It's not the Middle East, not Europe, not China. The biggest partner is Canada. And what better partner can you find than the Canadians?
Now, what's the economic impact of trade for Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana? How many jobs are created?
Well, I mean, in Ohio, there are about 300,000 jobs that depend directly with trade with Canada. If I look at Indiana, it's around 200,000, and in Kentucky, it would be around 100,000. So it's very significant. We have about 500 companies, Canadian companies, which employed tens of thousands of Americans here. And the reality, we were just having a roundtable this morning with folks, and they were saying, people don't see it, but it's quite amazing the amount of trade between us. And the reality is that we make things together. So it's not that we sell, we just make these things together then. Because that famous landing gear I talked to, is that a Canadian landing gear or is it an American landing gear? I don't know. It was like 50 cities. I mean, if you take it, you know, it was pretty much everywhere. So this is the uniqueness. There is no two nations that are doing what we're doing. It's unprecedented in the history of the world, and it's something that we need to cherish and celebrate and make work.
How does this Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana region compare to other regions of the country in terms of its size, trade partner with Canada?
It's one of the major trade corridors. I mean, if I take the Great Lakes and the St. Lawrence River, that's about nine states and two Canadian provinces to give you a sense of perspective. Trade between these nine states and two provinces is $5 trillion. Can you imagine? $5 trillion. You know, we are the main corridor for the automobile industry. As you know, This is the corridor where spare parts and parts for cars are all fabricated and assembled. This is a unique partnership. I don't think it's quite unprecedented in the history of the world, where you see there's so much on the manufacturing side, but then on the research side, on the commercialization side, what we need to do now is really to take what's good, how can we improve it, how can we make sure that we put people front and center in everything we do. As trade minister, I can assure you, every morning that I wake up, I say, how can I make this trade real for people? How can I improve lives of workers who are working hard, families, and SMEs that need to be on this trade journey with us?
Are there any missed opportunities that you see between the U.S. and Canada in trade?
Well, I think we could do much more. You know, as trade minister, I have the chance to travel the world. And I think that although we start from a very strong base, I was saying like 40% of the export of this region of Ohio goes to Canada, I think that there are more. Canada is opening up market in Asia. We are opening up market in Europe. I think that I was saying that today to colleagues. I said, Canada will soon have preferential market access to 1.1 billion consumers around the world through NAFTA and the free trade agreement with Europe. This is a unique opportunity also for U.S. businesses who manufacture goods in Canada to jump on that and make sure that they benefit from trade. Canada has been at the forefront of the progressive trade agenda, inclusive one. We signed, for example, the first free trade agreement of a G7 nation, which includes a gender equality clause, recognizing that we need to bring more women, recognize that women entrepreneurs should have their full seat at the table, that we should do everything that we can to promote women in trade, youth, underrepresented group. Those are the, I would say, it's not just the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do today. And Canada is at the forefront of this progressive agenda, taking care of the environment, making sure that we have strong labor rights provisions, making sure that women and women entrepreneurs are front and center when it comes to trade.
Do you see opportunity for a lot of growth in trade relations?
I think so. You know, the good thing I see with trade, and you know, my own district is bigger than the country of Belgium. To give you a sense, my own congressional district is 10 hours north-south driving. So you talk about someone who understands rural communities, small communities. I have about 34 municipalities in my own district. And oftentimes, I spend a lot of time with small and medium-sized businesses. And for me, trade is all about removing barriers and making it easier for the small guy out there to be able to sell to the world. And one of these things for me is this electronic e-commerce platform. This for me, it's bringing democratization of trade. You can be a small producer of honey in Toledo or in Shawinigan, where I'm from, where you have a community of 500, but you can still produce there if you sell to the world. I have one which I've employed like 10 people. They produce locally, but they sell globally. This is for me what trade is all about, keeping our people in our communities, making them thrive and give them a chance to export to the world.
So technology is a big game changer here.
Well, it is. I mean, technology, there are some revolutions that are happening in the world. I mean, technology is certainly one that we need to embrace. I think that we need to understand that connectivity is also a big thing. The world is more connected than ever. Someone told that the speed of change will only accelerate and will never be as slow as it is today. So if you think about that image, just mean that things are evolving, artificial intelligence. We're looking at technology. But the great thing is that let's remember that investment follows talent. And talent in this region, think about the great universities we have here. You mentioned I went to Case Western. There's a reason why I went to Case Western, one of the greatest university. But think about the pool of universities we have in this region. And let's remember that every time we have someone going to high school, to college, to university, this is a ticket for the new economy. This is a ticket for people to drive, start a family, and make sure they get into the benefit of trades. And for me, we will always be great advocates, Canada, of this trade, but trade which is centered around people. And the way we have got the social license in Canada, like I said, is because we reduced tax for the middle class, we invested in families, we invested in infrastructure. So when people, you know, their commuting time home is reduced by half, they start seeing that this makes sense for them. And they can spend more time with their family or in their small businesses, as opposed to being stuck in traffic on some highways. They get it. They say, these guys understand that trade can make a difference for me.
Minister Champagne, thank you.
It was a real pleasure.
Canada's Minister of International Trade, François-Philippe Champagne. Next up, we'll hear about Cincy Stories. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.